So have you done a podcast before?
Never done a podcast before.
Oh, well.
It's quite scary because you hear your voice back and you're like, oh.
Yeah, but the good thing is that it almost feels like it's never going to go anywhere.
Right, you feel like you're in a vacuum.
Yeah. So tell us all your secrets. When did you lose your virginity?
Wait, first let's introduce her.
Olivia, will you please introduce yourself?
I'm Olivia Cook.
I'm Anna Ferris.
I am Sim.
That's Sim Sarna, and he's been my friend for a long time. Here's the thing, Sim.
Yeah.
Between you and I, and this is, doesn't go anywhere, right?
No, it goes nowhere.
But you and I have been friends for a long time, and I'm starting to get the feeling that you're becoming like more and more kind to me because you have like a financial interest.
Oh, absolutely. I'm totally kissing your ass because if I don't have you, I don't have a job.
I've been listening to this. I've been listening to your dynamics.
You have?
And
this
is a common grievance between you two where you feel like Sim doesn't respect you enough and he doesn't pay you any compliments.
That's true. But the good news is I'm arrogant enough to know that I'm smarter than he is.
Excuse me. Right. No, I need a job. Go ahead. Yes, you're smarter.
Oh my God, you're such a fucking dick. Don't you like lay this fucking trap for me, you dick?
We have Olivia Cook here and you're talking to me.
I know. But okay, so wait, I'm worried that you're exhausted though.
I
know
fine.
What it's like to be on the end, the promotional. You have two movies coming out this month.
Yeah, but this is my first day doing the press tour stuff. So this is a really nice start.
So we get you fresh. Do you live in LA?
I don't. I live in Brooklyn. In New York.
Do you like New York?
I love New York. I moved there for a boy and then just stayed there.
When did you move there?
About 2.5 years ago.
And what are you with the boy?
Yeah, we're still together. So that's nice.
Oh.
I mean, it's been a bit up and down, but we're still
is he
together.
Is he in a creative?
He is. He's an actor as well. So he's, yeah.
I like those types.
Met on a job, as it happens.
Yeah.
All the time.
So you moved to New York, and then do you like coming to L.A.?
I love coming to L.A. I love landing in L.A. I love being here for 2 weeks and then jetting out. I always come here, and I'm always like, oh, it's going to be a holiday. It's going to be really nice. It's going to be a vacation. And then it becomes all about work, and it becomes about yourself. And then you're like, oh, you always leave feeling shit about yourself.
You always leave feeling shit at
L.A.? A little bit shit, just because I feel like when I'm here, then all the reps and all those people, they start.
Peeling
you know,
away,
pawning you out. You know, then you're talking about yourself loads, and then you just be like, oh, I don't feel like a person anymore. I feel like an advertisement.
Here's the narcissistic problem that sometimes I have. I'll go back to Seattle. I'll start like talking to my friends and family, and I'll think initially, it's wonderful to be like talking to people about. Outside of the vortex of Hollywood. Then I find my mind wandering and I'm like, I want to talk about myself again. And it's this horrible, disgusting realization when I talk about myself all the time. Turns out I might be completely addicted to talking about myself, which is why I started a podcast.
But I feel also you go home and you make a decision not to talk about yourself and to try and be really, really down to earth and not to talk.
Isn't that hard? Isn't it boring?
It's difficult because it's all you know. And I feel like when you're an actor, it's so all encompassing and it's all coming from the prism of you. So it is really narcissistic what we do anyway.
Has anyone ever said to you, you've changed? Flag those people,
by
the way.
Not yet.
Because I don't think you've changed.
Thank you. So in the 5 minutes that I've been here, I've not changed. I don't think I have. I think I've gotten a little bit more impatient.
With what?
With being home in Manchester, because that's where I'm from, the north of England. I can go home for like two days.
But what makes you impatient about it?
I think just how slow it is, how you go back and nothing's changed, which is really lovely. And I don't know, it brings you back to earth a little bit, but after two days, that's enough. And I think...
And I think that's what I'm like, sort of what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, the addiction of getting a rapid pace of life a bit, and how it's isolating and fascinating and stimulating, but you sort of almost get addicted to the stimulation of it.
You do completely. And it's like, in LA and New York, you have everything at your fingertips. You have everything on your phone. You can order whatever you want. You can go onto the street in a 3-block radius. You've got all your needs that you could ever want. But then you go back to Seattle or you go back to Manchester, and it is slower. And people, you know, they take their time with things, and they learn to enjoy moments, where I think I've kind of like lost the art of enjoying moments and enjoying lazy days.
Yes.
And
yeah, I completely agree with you about that. Like the mentality of slowing down a little bit. I have lost it. And then I get frustrated with Sim when he's like, you have another fucking podcast. And I'm like, what? But then I love it. So, but you've just started press. What's the most annoying question that you get, and how do you deal with it? And you don't really have to answer this.
Well, I think it's just...
Because I see your posts.
I think... So, like, in a few words, tell me about your character.
Oh.
Because I always forget.
Oh.
It's so long ago that I did the films. I'm like, oh, fuck, say this. Say something really intelligent. I think I'm really worried about coming across as dumb.
Oh.
I'm really worried about that.
Isn't that the problem of actors? I mean, as a blonde actress, I'm lucky in that I've played a lot of dumb characters. So there's that obvious assumption, which I am dumb.
No, you're
so
not.
Love you. Go on. but I think that there is that need to prove intelligence, mm-hmm. and feel articulate. But then when you're asked a question like that, like, tell us about the plot, tell us about the character dynamic, it's sort of like,
oh, Anya just got here.
Hi, Anya.
How's it going?
Fucking
Hi,
hot jeans.
Nice
dude.
To meet you.
Hello, hey. Darling. How are you?
You look lovely.
Oh, you too.
Good
Hi.
To see you.
Thank you for being here.
Oh, no, thank you for having me. I'm sorry I'm late.
Oh, God, you smell delicious.
Thanks. I shouldn't. I came off a plane.
Drink some.
Wait,
wine.
Where were you? Yeah, do you want some?
Wine?
Yes. That's how we do it here on the podcast.
Hell yes, I want some wine. Amazing.
Don't worry. If I ask you about your virginity, you don't have to answer.
All right.
Wait, so where'd you come in from, Anya?
We were in San Francisco this morning promoting the movie yesterday, and then the day before that we were in Boston.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, but it's cool. We like the film, so it's like...
Do you guys get asked the question about, like the idea of two female leads and sort of friendship on and off set? Do you guys get asked that? I don't know. I remember when I was doing the high... Because I haven't done... that many projects besides Mom that have had women as mm-hmm. leads. I don't know. Does that come up? And I don't even know how it would in a theme, but has there been any of that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There has.
And I feel like the subversive question is like,
do you hate each other?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That sort
yeah.
of thing.
Right. Is that fucked up?
It is a little bit fucked up. Cause I think, I mean, I've talked about this the other day where as when you grow up as a young lady, you're pit against each other from
continuously
the day you're born, whether that's like your love rival, your talent, your
the way you look,
different abilities, your aesthetic, mm-hmm. you just in every single capacity you're in competition.
Like it should be more about bigging each other up and being like, you know, what was so great about, and people are kind of like, they say, you know, what drew you to this project, and I'm like, I really wanted to work with Olivia, and you'll see some people's mm-hmm. eyes kind of be like that's not that weird, man, she's a really talented actress, I wanted to work with
yeah,
her.
Yeah, same here.
So it is strange. I think people that have a bit more tact say, how did you work on that chemistry? And you're like, what, you mean the chemistry where we're like beating each other up verbally continuously?
Yeah, journalists are fucking ding dongs.
Yeah.
You got asked
I mean, how, what drew you to that project? Oh God, I would get asked that with like Scary Movie 4, and it's like, what drew me to that? What the fuck do you think drew me to that project? I'm like, I wanted to play Cindy Campbell one more time. What the fuck?
No. Like, I renegotiated my contract, and it was great.
And it was great. And now I have
a
beautiful
house.
Yeah.
We got asked that really weird MTV question, didn't we? Where they were like,
"What
do you hate about each other?"
Oh God, yeah. who the fuck asked?
And it started off. It kind of like lulled us into a false sense of security because they said, you know, like what was so great, and we were kind of like gushing about each other, and they're like, "Yeah, okay, cool. Now, like, what do you hate about each other?" Mm. We just straight up refused to answer the question. We're just like, "That's a really fucked up thing to ask."
You were really good. You shut that down immediately, and I was like, "Oh my God, what do I hate about Anya?"
Think about it. Answer the question. You have to do it. You have to do it.
Oh, that's good though. I'm glad. I once got asked if I had a nose job.
What?
Yeah. And
listen, I'm no innocent. I've had some things done.
But also, none of their business.
But I was. But I. The one thing I haven't had is a nose job, which I've always kind of wanted.
Is that a compliment though? They're like, "Oh, you've got a really nice nose."
I think what it was that the last time the journalist saw me for the previous scary movie Junket, the makeup artist for the next scary movie Junket carved my nose in. You know, using all that contouring. Yeah. Anyway.
But I didn't know what. Yeah. That sounds so violent.
but I don't know if. I think it's un. Of course, it's unfair that we're more vulnerable as actresses, as women, to get these questions that are like thinly cloaked ideas of, you know, what they really want to hear, is like catty shit, my plastic surgery.
So boring.
Drama.
Yeah. So boring. It's so e news.
You have not seen my tits.
I would love to.
Those are not boring.
They're good. Hey, you guys, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thanks for having us.
Yeah. Okay, so we're going to do a couple of things, and then we talk to callers. If you guys are okay with that.
Awesome.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
Yeah, we actually give advice. So we're going to give advice to people who need help with relationships.
I'm so glad. I didn't think we were going to do this today.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're good. Good, good. Well, I feel like you guys would be amazing at it. All right. So listen, this is called, it's a new segment. It's called Friendship Deal Breakers. And here's the setup. You move in with your childhood friend, Becca. You guys have been friends since you were 12. Would these be sort of deal breakers in terms of roommate, friendship, whatever? She borrows your underwear without asking.
Fine.
Not a deal breaker, yeah.
You guys are amazing. She calls you every day.
Fine.
Yeah.
She gets mad when you don't like her Instagram posts.
Not okay.
Yeah, deal breaker. But
she doesn't like your boyfriend and won't hang out with you if he is there.
Well, we share a house.
Yeah, so deal breaker.
Where does she go? Or do I go?
Well, he doesn't feel very comfortable hanging out with her. So when you guys go out, she just doesn't want to come. I don't know. Maybe she complains a lot. I do have a little bit of a backstory with this one.
Okay, cool. I'm so invested.
So 2 years ago, he asked out your mutual friend, Becca, but then he stood her up.
Oh, and so, now we're dating him.
Yep.
Oh.
I know, it's a little vague, isn't
so
it?
So we're not the bad guy, but this has been our decision, and so this is on us, and so that shouldn't be a deal breaker.
It should be okay. Yeah. A mature discussion would be allowed, but like, I think, yeah.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's fine.
Yeah, that's fine. I understand where she's coming from. Hopefully in
Becca?
Time.
More Becca, yeah.
Well, hopefully in time we can work that out.
Oh, wait, no, Becca was the other one. Shit, I kind of fucked that up.
I was getting like, I was feeling
totally
really sorry
cool.
for
she
Becca.
She doesn't need to have him in her house. It's fine.
Okay, she cheats on her boyfriend and asks you to be her alibi. And tell him that you were with her the other night.
Oh, this happened to a friend of mine recently.
No.
Deal breaker. Because then you're
being made to lie.
Yeah, you're a bystander and it's just, Yeah. No, that put, yeah, that makes you, yeah, that puts you in a very strange, unless you love the goss. And then you're like, yeah.
Wait,
yeah,
can I be your American roommate?
Yeah.
Your best friend.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You guys, ugh. Okay, I know that you and Kyle, like, are all good friends, and you know that I love him, but I hooked up with Ryan, and I, please don't freak out or anything, but if he asks where I was last night, I just really appreciated it if you were just like, you know, we were all hanging out.
Wait, Ryan the bartender? Kind of dirty. Dirty he's nails. Dirty fingernails.
He's a fucking guitarist. Like, he's more than a bartender. No, so he's got the left gross.
That's why his left hand fingernails are really gross. Long.
Oh. No. And also, he told me he got tested. It's all good. But anyway, I just need you guys to tell Kyle. I mean, if he asks. Only if he asks, you know? So we're Becca, cool.
Look at your life. Look at your choices, man. I think we need to talk about this a little bit more.
Yeah, I don't feel comfortable.
Yeah, it's not fair, man.
What the fuck, you guys? Come on.
We love you, but...
I just feel, I've got a sinking feeling in my stomach that everyone involved is going to get hurt.
You guys don't even fucking like Kyle.
I don't like Kyle.
You never have.
But I've grown to tolerate him.
We respect each other. This is a respectful
place.
What
the fuck, Anya? You fucking stole my underwear.
I gave it back. Clean. That's not okay. And if he asks, I'm just going to defer to you. Because I think that you should handle yourself.
Yeah.
But I will not be telling.
Handle you should... myself? Oh, I'm a big shot Hollywood actress. Fuck you. I am making it as an artist. So fuck you.
I didn't mean it that way. You know that.
I know I can't contribute that much this month. Okay.
Yeah, well...
And Olivia, don't you even fucking say a word. Because I know that Kyle fucking asked you out.
And I looked at his fingernails and they were putrid. They were so dirty. I was like, where have you been? You are not touching me with those dirty little hands. And tiny hands, by the way. How does he even grip a guitar with those?
Tiny doesn't mean tiny everywhere. I mean, sometimes it does. Okay. Whenever you go to lunch, she always forgets her credit card.
Oh. Deal breaker. I mean, I don't like stingy friends. No. I'm so generous with my money. And even if they don't have as much.
Where'd you put your thing?
My card number is... I think that's a deal breaker.
It's difficult. It's just because awkward. It's like, yeah, but eviction, man. Like, I feel like I'd just like sit her down and be like, hey, not cool. Can you maybe...
I'll be honest. Like, I can't afford this. And I'll be like, all right, fine. You just get the next one.
Yeah.
But don't conveniently forget.
Okay, but I'm pursuing my dream. Just True. Like you guys are.
True, but your dad's
you guys
in real
just
estate.
Like, you know, rolled the dice and got lucky. And
True.
I that's, haven't...
True,
that's
we
totally
haven't
what happened.
We're so lucky. We're so lucky. Oh, my God. Okay, you overhear her telling somebody at a bar that she's your cousin.
What?
Oh, that's quite endearing.
That's sort of sweet.
What?
Kind of.
It's not creepy?
Well, yeah. But, I mean...
Did you ever not, with your friends, go to a bar and like, we're sisters?
I didn't because most girls didn't like me.
I'm
not
sure
they...
Oh, no.
Most people don't like me.
No.
Why is this?
Well, I'm That's saying unhappy. That in sort of a self-deprecating way, but...
Jealous.
But no, jealous of you. I would think that would be... It would feel a little bit weird, I guess.
I think you just ask, like, why? And if they're just like, I don't know, I thought it'd be fun. You're like, oh, okay, it's fine. I mean, she's not trying to steal your identity or anything. So, is she?
Well, I Whoa. Did envision this person to be way creepier than you guys did.
We're all like,
quite light, Becca.
Okay, so this next one, we'll do this really quickly, and then we'll go on to the things. But this one is called You're Dating an American.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. His name is Chad.
Oh, Chad.
Mm-hmm. I've got
Chad and Beckham.
Like a Chad,
this.
Like a Chad Michael Murray
oh.
sort of situation, because that is fine.
Yeah.
Especially like I'll date Hillary Duff, Chad. Circa Hillary
Whatever
Duff.
Chad you want to imagine.
Okay, Cinderella story.
Yeah. You're Chad.
I'm so
okay. Are these deal breakers? He giggles nonstop at the idea of bangers and mash.
That's not a deal breaker.
Doesn't, I mean, no.
It'd be a bit irritating
it's a bit
after
annoying,
a while.
Yeah, but it's not bad.
He likes to say fanny pack in front of your mom.
I find that funny.
Yeah, that's not
that's a cool. Do you guys find this American charming? Jesus
that's
Christ.
Funny.
Do you guys have, like, on one hand, incredibly sophisticated senses of humor, and then on the other hand,
Chad Michael okay. Murray, so you have to make exceptions.
Yeah. He asks if it's okay to say cunt.
It's my favorite swear word.
So is he doing it with the
yeah.
connotation of the like American cunt where it's kind of detrimental to a woman, or is he doing it in like the kind of like Glaswegian like friendly cunt way?
He likes to do both.
Okay.
Yeah.
The aggression he'll be like, you know, okay.
What a cunt.
Oh, I don't
and
like
then,
that.
And or then he'll be like, oh my god, she's such a cunt.
Yeah, like, oh, you wee cunt. No, if he's like calling someone a cunt in traffic, then I think that's a deal breaker.
But he's doing it for your amusement.
Oh, then I'm just be like, no, honey.
I really like that word. I've never understood the aggression towards... It's obviously, you know, if you imbue anything with a certain amount of aggression, any word is pretty bad. But I've always loved that word. I just like the way it's like...
I love it too.
Mm. Yeah.
It's got a sharp edge to it.
Exactly. Not
and
not
it feels
a deal-breaker
empowering.
For me.
Yeah.
Like,
but I it know. Depends if like an American man says it.
That's
it's
exactly
a different,
what I was going to say.
Like Sims.
Like, what do you mean? Oh,
if I said cunt, it just sounds awful. But if I said cunt, that sounds okay.
No,
right?
Sim, I don't know. I disagree with you because I don't know if, I guess it is all about sort of the intention. Like
yeah.
when you just said cunt.
It's weird if an American dude says cunt.
No.
See, right there. Do you see that reaction?
No, I love the fact
you
that you're like, oh my God, this is
indignant.
Law.
Like, look at him. He's got a huge smile on his face.
Exactly.
And he says cunt.
It's
adorable.
Say. It is a fun word to say.
Yeah.
If exactly. you're doing it with a wink.
But if you're like, that yeah. fucking cunt.
No,
then you're like, well,
then you're
I'm like, not
okay.
sure I like that person.
Back off.
And there's like an old lady in front of him.
Yeah.
And he's aiming it at her.
Yeah.
Why'd you make her old? You just have to like take
sounds
it to, like,
more tragic.
It is tragic. Yeah.
Well, the woman was a fucking cunt.
She was a cunt.
Okay, so he makes an argument for why American football is better than soccer.
I don't care enough, really.
It's tiresome, isn't it?
I wouldn't.
I'm just like, okay.
Yeah,
but he makes the argument constantly. Like, he brings it up maybe twice a week.
That's a deal breaker. That's so boring.
Yeah,
so
it's really not a, yeah.
And I've seen American football. They pause every 6 seconds. It goes on for hours and hours and hours.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
America hates you now.
And also, I have seen your version of football. Mm. And that's a large field.
Yeah.
And the camera is far away.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even get up close.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and nothing happens. I mean, sure, they race around. They're fast and whatnot.
There's pretty good acting. Well, actually, terrible acting in it, too. The whole, like,
yes.
rolling on the floor and grabbing and being like, ah! It's kind of, it's almost like Shawshank Redemption-y, but on a football.
Sure.
I'm not sure. Will you explain the correlation to me?
Like, the poster, you know, when he's there, like, ah!
Yeah?
Yeah. So when they fall on the ground and they grab onto their knees and they're, like, screaming.
And it's like,
acting 101.
Yeah, pretty much.
And that's, so it's like, there's like this idea, I think, of American masculinity that's counterintuitive, even though it's so beneficial in real football. Don't you think, Sim? I'm wading into territory that I shouldn't.
It's okay.
Look
it's
at
fine.
Sim.
No, I feel like this the wrong crowd to talk about this.
I have no idea what we're talking about.
I just think that the acting of pain is counterintuitive to an American sport oftentimes.
Right.
So, like, there's a lot of, like, hiding of it, this. I don't.
We were
just
talking about.
There
was
one
talking about masculinity.
Yeah.
You know where I'm going.
I know.
But exactly, masculinity and the idea of, like, what
we talked about toxic masculinity before as well. But we can get into that. We can talk about for another hour, though. But if you want to, I don't mind.
No, look at you. He totally minds. Um,
All right, should we go to some calls? Or yeah, what do you think?
Wait, first, I just wanted to say, I saw your movie this morning.
Oh.
Thoroughbreds. Holy shit. Oh my God. I did not expect that at all. It did really, you know, 85% Rotten Tomatoes. I knew that it won all these awards at Sundance and all of that. And I knew it was going to be a good movie. But oh my God. Cassie, our head writer, saw it this morning as well. And,
hi, Cassie.
And, I mean, I don't want to give away any of it. I don't even know what to say.
You guys are fucking brilliant. Did you guys get Beautiful Creatures comparisons?
Yeah.
That's a good one. Yeah. That's exciting when people say that.
Really exciting. Stuff.
And it, there is that like intense friendship love that you have at a particular age where I had it where, you know, then I don't know, maybe from like age 12 to 14, I thought I'm a lesbian because there was a friend that I felt so intense, like so much intensity towards that I couldn't imagine feeling that way about a guy.
Yeah.
And it's particular, right?
It's obsessive.
Totally. Yeah. It's almost like you want to be them, but you can't get close enough and you do everything together. And it's such a fascinating thing to explore on screen, you know, just like even taking away the added element of like the violence and the emotional stuff. But
Yeah. And the lack of emotional stuff.
Totally.
The sociopathic nature of the film as well.
And what you would kind of do anything for like a friend and like that thrill of sort of foolish decision making and getting seduced, you know, by kind of another person's imagination who makes you feel like less lonely in the world.
Right. And the boredom of that time as well, when you're not a fully an adult and you can't make decisions for yourself yet. And just like how the summers dragged and the days were long and then school was so boring and everyone
and
was
you
telling
like you're
you
living forever.
Right. And everyone was telling you that these are the best days of your life. Enjoy it. And you're like, my God, if it doesn't get better than this, I'm going to kill myself.
And men are starting to look at you differently. And that was like a shift. Well, I was wearing headgear. But kind of, it's sort of a mouth thing. And but look at my teeth now,
so straight,
they're great,
pearly white.
But I think there is that very important shift specific to a woman when you start to recognize as you're walking down the street that men are starting to look at you and they're checking out your ass, and it's this thing of like, oh, my science teacher that I admired turns out is maybe slightly creepy, or my friend's dad hugs me a little bit too tightly, or like whatever, like those things are in life, and you seek female companionship through some of those.
And it's learning how you can manipulate those people.
Yes.
As well. Like learning the power that you have in these strange moments with men that could potentially be preying on you or want something for you from you. And, you know, I think these two young women in Thoroughbreds are so, so powerful, but it never once goes into a sexual territory. It's always... We never once speak about a guy that we never once play into our sexuality. It's mainly our friendship and the power of that and the power of what we can do as two young women.
We're both more interested in each other than we are into any other sort of like male.
Yeah. Figure. Anything outside of the world that we're in at the moment.
Completely. And actually, you know, that whole thing of when you discover your sexuality, I was really upset because I felt like it was enforced on me and my innocence had been taken in a way where I didn't want to feel like people were looking at me differently and that I couldn't inhabit my own body without it being sexualized by somebody else. And it actually made me really angry because I was like, oh, fuck this science teacher. Like, I'm just going to school. Like, why does this have to be a thing? And it is something that I love about the two of our characters is that there's, you know, be it right or wrong, and, you know, mostly people think it's wrong, there is a sense of power that they've both taken for themselves within the situation where they've empowered themselves in their own way. And it's not about what other people are putting onto them. It's completely within our world and what we're giving to each other and taking from each other. And that felt quite refreshing rather than having it be
God, yes.
I'm in a really tight dress again and people are, oh, yeah, okay.
Right.
You're the love interest.
Oh,
yeah.
So
like,
sweet.
Here on my show, Mom, but I do feel really lucky that we don't have that our stories as like five women don't revolve around men always, occasionally, but not always. And that was a shift for me. Mm-hmm. And that feels really liberating as well, because it's not necessarily about a chase or about the feeling of please want me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, like the stress in the morning is in the makeup chair of being like, oh, well, today is like when I seduce someone, so I've got to look really nice today, and it's just not working for me. And like the stress of like feeling that you, in as well as, you know, doing some decent acting, you have to look attractive, mm-hmm, as well.
Oh yeah, and I don't know how to seduce. Like,
me neither.
I do some seductive acting.
People are like, give it the eyes. I'm like, what eyes? These are the only ones I have. Like, I can't really do anything with them.
But yeah, like to acknowledge that power means almost giving up yourself.
Yeah.
Like, anyway.
And you go for it, and then people are like, oh, so you agree? You think you're really pretty? Yes. And you're like, no. Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Well, yeah, okay. Oh. All right, should we do the
thing?
Yeah,
let's go to the calls right now. So Thoroughbreds is coming out March 9th, and everyone should see it because it's phenomenal.
That's my producer's hard sell.
All the awards and all the accolades, because you both deserve it.
Oh.
Seriously, you both were fantastic in it.
Thank you.
We're calling Maddie first, and she's in Cleveland.
As she tells us the story.
And she is 24.
We can refer to this.
Sort of. And so we'll try and help her with her situation.
You guys
Hello?
Are amazing.
Hey, Maddie, it's Sim. How are you?
Hi.
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing really well. I'm going to introduce you to Anna right now, and Anna's going to introduce our guests as well.
Hi, Maddie.
Okay. Hi. How are you?
Good. Thanks so much for doing this.
Oh, yeah, of course.
We've got Anya Taylor-Joy and Olivia Cook here.
Hello, Maddie.
And they're fucking amazing.
It's good to talk to you guys.
Good
excited.
To talk to you, too. Hi.
So, Maddie, tell us what's going on with your best friend.
Okay, so my best friend and I just moved in together. So we're living in a little closer quarters than we ever have in our 14 years of friendship. So she has been in a serious relationship for about a year. But the problem is, during this serious relationship, she has been carrying on another relationship with a guy from grad school that she met, who was kind of like her will they won't they guy. So she has been sleeping with him and talking to him the entire time that her and her boyfriend have been dating. Since living with her, I've kind of like seen things a little more clearly than I did when we weren't living together. And what's been happening is she's been kind of lying to me, kind of going behind my back. The biggest issue was last week she drove 2 hours to go visit her other grad school guy, and didn't tell me where she was for like a day and a half.
Oh,
which worries me because I know that her and the guy had been talking a lot, but I wasn't really sure how much she had been going to see him, which makes me think that she's seen him on other occasions that she hasn't told me about. But she talks pretty seriously about this boyfriend that she's with, and she's kind of just like in between, doesn't really know what to do. And then another kicker is she's kind of been rekindling things with her ex-boyfriend from college.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
There's three dudes, right? There's three guys in the picture right now?
Yeah. So they broke up because of trust issues and distance. So I'm not really sure what's happening there now. But the problem is that she just doesn't really talk to me about it. She doesn't talk to anybody about it. Anytime I try to bring it up, it's pretty much just brushed off. Like, oh, I'll figure it out. Oh, I got time. I'm young. I'll figure it out. But what's worrying me is that it's kind of starting to affect our relationship. And, you know, I try to put myself in other people's shoes. I don't want to judge her. I don't want to seem like I'm attacking her or, you know, not rooting for her happiness. But it just, when it starts to affect our relationship, when she feels like she has to lie to me, that kind of hurts me. So I guess what I'm really asking for is less of what she should do, because I've tried to talk to her about it a million times. Doesn't seem like she really wants to listen to my advice. It's just kind of like, how can I have a conversation with her that's like, you know, I want you to be able to talk to me and I want you to be able to trust me and I want you to want to figure things out and I don't want you to lie to me, because I want to preserve our 14-year friendship. Just because I don't agree with what you're doing doesn't mean that I don't still love you and want you to be happy.
Maddie, when you talked to her in the past, how much does she, like, how much have you revealed to her that you know? Like, does she know that you know a lot of this stuff?
I think that she, so I have another roommate too. She will tell her, our other roommate and I, different things. And it's hard because I don't want to like betray their trust. So because my roommate will be like, did you know this? For example, this is another kicker. I thought that the grad school guy knew about her boyfriend, but I guess a couple months ago she lied to him and told them that her boyfriend and her had broken up. So now nobody knows about the other person. So she had told her other roommate that. It's just a web of lies.
Yeah, it's a very tangled web. But I mean, have you?
This sounds like a shit show.
Yeah,
Maddie.
Have you ever expressed yourself the way that you just express yourself now? Because it sounds so heartfelt and just there. And I think, I mean, she's clearly not telling you stuff because she feels a bit ashamed. And I don't know why she's going for all of these different guys. There's clearly some insecurity that she's, you know, feeding or something's going on. But have you just sat her down and been like, hey, I'm here for you. I love you so much, but something's really not right. And I need you to start being honest with me because you're my best friend. And this is not how best friends interact with each other. And this is not how we communicate. And more than that, we're living together. So out of respect, we need to be honest with each other.
Anya, can I be the stoner version of that?
Yeah, totally.
Okay. Hey, dude, listen, you know, you and I are really fucking tight, right? I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of shit going on with all these dudes and what, like, fucking whatnot, and you're like driving for hours and whatever. But I just want you to know that if you ever feel like you need a buddy, I'm here, bro.
That was perfect. That was great.
Yeah, we should do this interpretation more.
And also, you know, if she's not talking to you, it already sounds like she knows she's massively in the wrong.
She's feeling guilty.
Yeah, and she doesn't want to admit it to herself. Would it help even for your stress on another note, maybe just taking a step back? Because you're not her mother and you're not responsible for her. And you've got 14 years of friendship. And if this is something that's really eating away at you, maybe just take a step back so you can still preserve the friendship outside of her very active sex life.
Yeah. And that's kind of the road I've been taking, is just kind of like stepping back and like just kind of letting her figure things out. Because I know you have to let people learn their own lessons. But at some point, like, she's got to buckle down and try and figure it out, because there's like three or four people's hearts at stake here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And at some point it's going to fall apart.
Yeah,
and I just
like
want
that.
Her to kind of realize the seriousness of it.
Well, I think as long as you feel like, you know, she's not in physical danger and you know, you're young, and I assume that she's really young as well, and she's feeling, even if you guys haven't really really talked about it, she's feeling sort of your judgment, your other roommate's judgment, probably family judgment, and so she's going to go into retreat. So sort of the less vibe of that you can give to her, I think the more that, you know, she'll feel safe around you. But, you know, it's clear that you guys all care about her. But, you know, oh man, 20s are for fucking up.
But at a certain point, she's going to need her friend, right? She'll realize, even if she takes a step back, I mean, she'll realize that, hey, I miss my friend. Can I talk to you? At a certain point, that will happen, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So she should take a step back for now. And then her friend will realize that, hey, I do. Her friend will miss her. And then hopefully they can have that conversation, the conversation that you guys discussed.
Yeah, she'll come to you.
And people do need to make their own mistakes. And sometimes it's only through the making of a mistake that you can actually like move forward and, you know, be all right again.
Right. I agree with that.
I wouldn't press her right now. She's clearly got a lot going on.
I want pressing her.
And I wonder what she's fulfilling out of her own life, and I wouldn't want you to press her on this at all. That she needs three dudes. Although having said that, oh God, wouldn't that be amazing? I think this might be one of those things where you might need her to come to you a little bit. Just be a little patient. And if you are worried, though, about like her safety or her heart or other things, but it sounds like she thinks that she has it figured out, and you probably won't be able to convince her otherwise until there's something that kind of, you know, breaks. And it's important that you be the friend that she can come to when something does happen, you know, that won't be judgmental.
That's true. Yeah, I never want to be that. I told you so. I just want to make sure that she knows that.
Oh, I wish I had a friend like you.
Yeah. Like me?
Maddie and Anna.
No, like Maddie. Fine.
Hey, Maddie, was this helpful?
Yes. Yes, it was. It made me realize that I just need to stay stepped back.
Oh, thank Maddie, you. Thanks, so
Maddie.
Much.
Deep breath, babe.
It'll get better.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much.
We have one more call. That was good advice, guys. Nice job.
I don't know. She's it feels vague, though.
What do you mean? That's the best advice you could possibly give her.
I guess. But
what else are you going to say to her?
I don't know.
Put
a tracking device on her car.
Shitty.
Tracking device. Is that ready?
Tell her parents.
All right, we're going to
tell her grandparents.
All right, we're going to call Maxie now, and Maxie is in Baltimore.
I thought that was funnier than you guys thought it was.
I didn't even hear what you said.
Yeah, I know.
She's 26.
Such a dick.
Maxie.
I like that name.
Hey, thank you guys. That was great.
Oh, thank you.
Hello?
Hey, Maxie, it's Sim. How are you?
Hi. Good, how are you?
Doing really well. I'm going to introduce you to Anna right now.
Hi, Maxie.
Hi.
I always get really high-pitched when I say hi to our sweet callers. Thank you so much for being a part of this.
And Anna's going to introduce our guest to you.
I'm here with Anya Taylor-Joy and Olivia Cook.
Hi, Maxie.
Hi.
So, Maxie, I love the subject heading. It says apathetic boo. Do you know what a boo is, Anna?
A boyfriend?
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Is it a boyfriend with the baby or no?
I just think it's just a boyfriend, yeah.
Who's sort of like ghost-like.
Exactly. Well, tell us what's going on with your apathetic boo.
Okay. So I've been dating him for about 4 months, and I find myself making a lot of the moves. Like, I'm always making the plans and asking him to do things. And I've sort of addressed that issue already. I asked him if we can start alternating plans, because I don't want to always be doing it all the time. But he's not only apathetic in that way, he also, I'm 26, he's 23, he's a little bit younger than me, and he's living at home.
Does he smoke a lot of pot and play video games? Sorry.
No, not really.
Okay. That's good. All right.
Not really. But when we started dating, he told me he was living at home, saving money to buy a house, which sounded great to me. I was like, good for you. I wish I could save money like that. But it's been 4 months of us dating, and I wouldn't have expected him to do anything yet, but I don't see him making any sort of a plan to move out in any way. He just keeps talking about it. So my question is it my place to push him in any way to do this? I personally don't want to be like a mother figure or like a bully about it, but it's not coming from a place of, I need you to do this. It's coming from a place of, I want to see him like make moves and advance in his life.
Oh, that's so tricky.
Maxie, there was like a 4-person exchange of head shaking here. because I mean, and maybe you guys can also take over as well, but you don't want to be put in that position. It doesn't make you feel sexy.
No.
And it's not self-serving to your best interests.
Yeah.
And once you're in mom zone, it's very difficult to get out if, you know, they'll even let you stay in there.
I feel like that just leads to resentment as well. And, you know, there's a sexiness that comes from a passion that your partner has, whatever it is. And I think if he's lacking that from the get go, and he's my mom always says, there's two people in life. You're either a gunner, like I'm going to do this, or you're a doer. And he sounds very much like a gunner.
But what, do you mind me asking what he does for a living?
He's an engineer. He actually has a pretty good job. He makes decent money. He's not, I don't want you guys to picture somebody who's like,
like what I was picturing, the stoner
parents. So he's not like some loser hanging out in his parents' basement.
So it's complicated for you. Right.
But he has motivation. He's a motivated guy. Like, he wants to do well with his job. He eventually wants to buy a house. But does he talk about plans? Does he have a plan at all? Has he said anything about your relationship? Has he talked about actual things that he wants to do with you at all going forward in the future?
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Well, he talks about how he'd like to take a trip, like things like that. Because it's, you have to remember, it's, we've only been together for like 4 months. It's not like
right.
We have marriage plans.
Right.
And he is young. And if he does have like a somewhat stressful job, then he, you know, maybe like planning dates and stuff is tough at a young age. You know, I mean, that's
23. I mean, I didn't know what I was doing. No, dude, 23-year-old dude, come on.
Yeah. But so what about this, Maxie? What if you said, I don't know. What if you like said, listen, there's so many things that I love about you and I want to be with you and I want to like envision a future. Maybe you don't have to put that envision in the future part. Maybe that'll, I don't know,
freak
whatever.
Out,
God, guys are so fucking stupid. But if you said like, listen, I'm going to assign it, it, maybe not, don't make it Valentine's Day, because I think Valentine's Day is
a lot of pressure for everybody involved.
That already passed.
It's done. It's
not Valentine's Day next year. Clearly, I love Valentine's Day.
but maybe you could like assign him a weekend in like, you know, April, and just say like, hey, I just need you to do this for me. If you, you know, please, like, just plan like a Saturday night. I want to spend the night someplace. I want you to do it. And I want you to, like, and you know, say it with a smile on your face and, like, I don't know. Wait, smile. Listen to, who the fuck am I? I'm such a fucking asshole.
No.
But I don't think that this guy
What do you think?
Why is she telling him what to do? This guy should have take the initiative.
I'm just saying this would be the test.
I just think this is, okay, fine. So this is the test. And if he doesn't,
this would be like,
he'll do it this one time. And then it's going to, the cycle will repeat itself.
Oh, wait, Maxie. Because she sounds like she likes him.
Yeah, what do you guys do when you are together? And how do you feel when you're together? Like, do you have a great time? Do you laugh? Like what is it that you guys do?
So one of the things I really like about him is he's willing to try things and go places, and when I have an idea, he always is down to do whatever new thing he hasn't done. We tend to go, I don't know, like last night we went to a bar that was doing a bingo night. It's just a local bar. It was just a
that's fun.
That sounds like fun.
Dinner and
but that was so, your idea.
We do things
I'm
like
assuming.
That. Yeah, it was my idea.
Maxie, do you like his parents?
Yeah, they're very nice. But that's another thing, is I feel like they're very involved in each other's lives, which isn't a problem, but I'm worried he's going to move out and that I'm going to almost assume that role. I want him to like be independent and
right. He's too comfortable at home.
Yeah. And you know what? I'm 41 and I've heard my friends refer to this kind of relationship as like the starter. And like how you train a dragon. And so like, I don't want you to be the starter girlfriend. So the next relationship that he has, he's like, oh, now I know what to do. Because I want you to protect yourself and I want you to be happy. And I don't want you to have to go through sort of that, like that chore essentially of
training somebody for somebody else.
Yeah. And so I don't think any drastic decisions have to be made right now, but I think just clock this. Make sure you always like clock your own happiness and how happy he's making you. And I want to make sure that you're feeling sexy and alive because, you know, you're young and you should.
Have you spoken to him about this? Because maybe because you're that little bit older, maybe he doesn't have that much confidence in maybe assuming a more of a dominant role when it comes to making decisions or planning trips and stuff, because maybe he just defers to you because he thinks that you're more world wise or, you know, you know more about these things or what you want to do. Have you spoken to him about maybe what he wants to do or if he feels that way?
For what I've addressed, I basically told him I'd like him to start planning more dates. And part of his reaction was that he's not good at that kind of thing. And I was saying to him, it's not really a good at it kind of thing. I was like, are you afraid of rejection? Like, I'm obviously not going to reject you, but I don't know. I feel like there's...
Is he just lazy?
I'm not sure what it is that's like holding him back. I mean, and when I say date, I'm saying, hey, I want to watch this movie. Can I come over? Or,
yeah, it's nothing.
Oh, I want to go grab a bite. Are you hungry?
Right. Yeah. Anything.
Just taking the initiative.
Breadcrumbs.
Yeah.
Maxie, I don't know about this dude.
This does not seem like something that's
going to
sustain
itself. He seems
really young.
I don't want to put you in a defensive position, but I also don't want you to have to coach him to and coax him to be the person that is right for you, because that in my experience, it just doesn't always, it just doesn't end that well.
Well, you're not telling her to break up yet.
The reason why I backed off from that idea, because that was my initial thought, but the reason why I backed off was because, Maxie, correct me if I'm wrong, but you sound like you really are into him. But I don't know if you've convinced yourself of that or if there's a way for you to take a step back and maybe examine it from a slightly distant perspective, because the future, as the late Tom Petty,
it's very difficult to train a
But yes, yeah.
It's very difficult to train a 23-year-old guy who's living at home is so comfortable.
And who wants to fucking do that?
Mm. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
We have
His mom is doing his dishes, doing his laundry.
Like
he doesn't want to, he doesn't know any other life.
But even if you're bad at planning things, like I'm a terrible planner. Every time I plan a surprise, it always like caves in on me and the people find out before and I'm like, fuck, I'm really bad at this. But you don't, it's not even like the surprise or the idea of, you know, whatever it is that you guys are going to do. You want someone to have the initiative to be like, I really like this person.
Exactly.
I want.
I'm excited to see you.
Or yes. Like, I think that they'll like that thing.
Exactly.
And I'm excited to maybe show them that thing.
Right.
And it's only been 4 months and this should be like the time where you're just like obsessed with each other.
Right. Yeah. It's not going to get any better if it's like, if she's having these concerns right now, 4 months in, what's going to happen 8 months down the road? 12 months.
I've said to him, like, I know you, because, like, I know he enjoys hanging out with me. Like, it's very, like, when we hang out, it's really, it's great. We have a lot of fun. Like, he's obviously really into it. But what I've said to him is, like, it's hard for me to know that you want to spend time with me if you never ask to spend time with me.
And what does he say?
That's my...
Yeah, because you're being very open. Like, this should be very easy for him to be like, oh, shit, I'm fucking up. I should change something.
It's clear as day. Absolutely.
I'm very, very... I very much believe in communication. So I'm trying to get him to also believe in communication.
Mm. You can sense a frustration in her voice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Maxie, I think... I don't know.
You shouldn't have to convince anyone.
You sound awesome.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Well, give her some final advice.
I think you need to tell him, I love this relationship. I fucking adore you. But here's the thing. Here are the things that I need. I need to feel a sense of passion. I need to feel a sense of love. And it's not. I don't think it's overly difficult. I mean, listen, put these in your own words, Matt.
Yeah, of course. I'm riffing here as a 41-year-old actress. I need you to want me.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And if you're not ready for that, that's okay. But I want to be clear on the terms. If you tell me something like you want to buy a house, I'm crazy about you. I think you're crazy about me. Having said that, what do you envision like the next?
We need to be
in 10 months.
Language.
Like what do you see in like?
Yeah,
for
he
us
should
in
have a
year?
Plan, or at least in his own head.
Or at least, yeah, at least in, like at he least should... he needs to actually consider it because it sounds like he talks a big game. I'm gonna buy a house or whatever, but it hasn't actually thought the plan through at all. And maybe you know that could also be his parents maybe indulging him a little bit. I have no idea. I don't want to blame his parents. They sound like lovely people. But I'm a believer in not wasting time.
Yeah.
Because I wasted a lot of time in my relationships. And I think it was good for me to sort of protect myself in a lot of ways, being constantly monogamous, because I think that... God, I was just about to say that I'm not jaded, as I feel like I'm so jaded. Anyway.
You're not jaded. You sound aware.
But if I had a daughter, there's so many things that I would be like, no, do not. Like, this, like, ding dong is a fucking yahoo. Get him the fuck out of here.
Yeah. My mom always says, if anyone treats me like that, she's always like, delete. Delete, delete, delete. Mm-hmm. And he does just, I think you're bang on with your intuition with this guy. And he does just sound like a 23-year-old guy who's very comfortable and who's been coddled and has it really good at home. And it doesn't sound like he's going to leave anytime soon.
And Maxie, it's always like when we have stuff like this, it always feels so much easier said than done. Because I'm sure that you're attracted to him and he's attracted to you and I don't know, sex is hot or whatever, but keep like, you know, the weird strangers in LA in the back of your mind as you make decision as you make these decisions.
Yeah, just protect yourself.
Yeah. Yep.
And ask for what you need. And if he can't give it, no hard feelings, but
life is short.
Mm. You deserve somebody that wants to call you up at whatever time and be like, dude, there's this crazy bingo game going on. You have to come over and we're going to take like, we're going to have so much wine and have the best possible time.
Yeah, you sound like the most fun ever. Yeah.
Your date sounds super cool. I want to go on a date with you. That sounds like fun.
Oh, Maxie, will you, let us know. I don't know if we gave you super, well, you guys are amazing, but I don't know if we gave you super specific advice because I also think that you might be in a place where you're clearly still, figuring some shit out, how much, like on a scale of 1 to 10, how much you love him. And don't answer that now. That's for yourself. but think about it and think about like, no one will ever, people will just reward you for learning what makes you happy. If you get to follow your path of joy, you know, people in your life that love you will applaud you for that. And we love you.
Thank you so much, Maxie. Oh,
thank you. I loved the book, Anna, by the way.
Oh, thanks. Well, I love you and thanks for being a part of this. And dump that guy. No, just kidding. Wait, but kind of, but not really. But wait, Sim, that's when you're supposed to hang up. I love you, Maxie. Bye.
Bye, Maxie.
Bye. Thank you. Bye.
It's so like your heart just gets so invested and you're like, fuck.
That was really intense.
I'm sure he's a great guy. I'm sure he's a good dude. It's just maybe at the right time. Maybe 10 years from now, if they met 10 years from now.
She sounds awesome,
great. She's way more mature than him on every level.
Which is the upsetting bit. But she's like, oh, well, but maybe this. And I'm just like, no, like just fucking own yourself. Like you're awesome.
God, it's like the constant theme though of like trying to make a bad thing work. Mm-hmm. And it's 4 months. He tells her something like, I want to buy my own house. And then he's like, well, but you know, in like 10 years or what, you know.
Or he could buy his own house, but he still doesn't text her to hang out.
Yeah, it's weird. Like the whole house thing is not really an issue for me. The whole thing is just like, dude, just fucking give me a call and be like, I would like to see you today.
Show some interest.
We're dating.
Yeah.
Your feelings shouldn't be regularly hurt in a relationship.
Especially once you've communicated and asked. Yeah. Like, that's the intense part.
Yeah. I love you guys. Thank you so much
for being here. This was a dream.
Here. Yeah, this was so wonderful. Thank you.
You guys are incredible. And I'm so excited about Thoroughbreds. And
March 9th?
March 9th.
Best talk ever. So much. Yeah.
And you guys helped, like, our callers and our listeners. I hope so.
I listened to this and I'm always like, oh god, such good advice. But when you're here giving that advice,
you're just like,
pressure,
who am I,
because they're gonna listen to you and I don't know fucking shit about anything.
You guys were great.
No, that's not true. You're strong, confident, fucking amazing women that this like reverberates in the most amazing way. And we'll let you guys know about how that works.
Oh, please do.
Yeah. It's pretty,
I really hope they're
awesome.
Okay. I love how we're both here with like our hands on our chest, just like, oh my God.
All right. I love you both.
Thank you so much.
I love you, dear listeners. Good night or good morning.
Good morning.
Or have a good drive.
Have a good day at work.
Good bus ride or good
walking your
bike
dog,
pedaling,
cooking, or whatever else you're listening to this podcast.
Yeah. She's